Blog Talk Radio.
My brand new novel, Primitive Woe, is now available on Amazon.com for only $2.99. That's right, if you're a fan of aliens, detective work, and police procedurals, you will love A Primitive Woe. Available now on Amazon.com.
Somewhere in space, this may all be happening right now. 20th Century Fox and George Lucas, the man who brought you American Graffiti, now bring you an adventure unlike anything on your planet. Star Wars.
Here they come. Coming in too fast!
The story of a boy, a girl, and a universe. Big, sprawling space saga of rebellion and romance. It's a spectacle, light years ahead of its time.
I am C-3PO, human cyborg relations, and this is my counterpart, R2-D2.
Hello.
No glasses, no glasses!
It's an epic of heroes. Worlds. Star Wars, a billion years in the making, and it's coming to your galaxy this summer.
Hey now, what is up? A tremendous Thursday evening to you, and welcome to the special edition of Darbin Horror Radio. My name is Eric Polk, and we are back with a very special edition, one I have waited almost 2 years, two long years, to put out, and it is the Star Wars Spectacular. I've been wanting to do this ever since the big announcement that Star Wars Episode 7 will be arriving in theaters on December the 18th. And I'm extremely pumped. And you guys can join in on the conversation tonight. The number, as always, in the United States is 1-877-552-4073. And for our international listeners, the number to call is 323-843-6113. It's a Star Wars Spectacular here on DVHR tonight. We're glad you're a part of it. And I have a ton of Star Wars memories, and I'm going to share some of them with you tonight. But as you know, I cannot handle the burden of a weekly one-hour internet-based radio show all by myself. On the other end of the tin can stream, funded by the Galactic Empire.
Carry on my wayward son.
Ah, yes, he is the Lord and Mistress of DarbinHorror.blogspot.com. And she knows her way around a good cantina band. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome back to the show, Miss Ronnie Reaper.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing, just laying down, tired as hell, but I'm here.
Yes, well, tonight it's all about the spectacle that is Star Wars. And like I said to open the show, I've waited almost 2 years to do this show. As soon as I found out the release date, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to do a show on Star Wars close to the release date. So, ow! I'm sorry, my cat just flipped out on me and just scratched the living crap out of my chest. Oh, my God. Live radio, ladies and gentlemen. What can you do? Oh, my God. The dark spot is strong in that cat. Yes, Penny has the dark side in her tonight, apparently. But anyway, so let's get right down to it before we get into the Star Wars part of things. Rhonda, what happened on Supernatural this week?
Well, this week, Castiel comes out of resting. Castiel, since he was, you know, had the curse on him, he'd been just sitting in the bunker resting for a while. He finally found Metatron, actually, thanks to his Netflix binge watching. He saw an episode of the news that was on in between, I guess, him watching all kinds of crazy shows, because he already went through everything on Netflix pretty much, and noticed a reflection in the car mirror that the cameraman was Metatron. I guess that's the job he got when he became human, you know, because he's a little slime ball, so he's a reporter for some bullshit magazine stuff that, like, sells crappy stories. He beats the crap out of Metatron, pretty much. Like, beats the crap out of him until he gives him the information he wants. He wants to know about the darkness. He wants to know what the darkness really is. And in this episode, the big thing is we get the story of what the darkness is. Or who she is, I mean. In a couple previous episodes before, they said that the Bible skipped over this part of the story, but in order to create humans, God had to lock up the darkness, right?
Mm-hmm.
The darkness is his sister.
Oh, my God.
God locked up his only sister to create people. And you wonder why she's so fucking pissed off.
Oh, I can't imagine why. Imagine that. A reveal of a sister. How appropriate here on tonight's episode.
So, yes, the darkness is God's sister. I guess God was the light and she was the darkness, and he locked our ass up. What the hell?
Wow. It just keeps getting crazier and crazier over in the land of Dean Winchester.
Oh, yes, and Dean Winchester had the chance to kill her. He was standing right there, had the blade in his hand. He could have killed her, but then again, he couldn't. For some reason, him and the darkness are, like, connected in some way. I don't understand exactly what it is yet, but we still got more season to go.
Oh, my God. So stay tuned. It's getting kind of juicy here on Supernatural.
She kicked Crowley's ass, by the way.
Oh.
The darkness just fucked Crowley up every which way to Sunday. It was fucking hilarious. No offense.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, there you have it. There you have it for the Supernatural report. And if you want the Walking Dead report for me, well, I'm afraid I've got some bad news, because I'm not talking about the Walking Dead, because they are fucking us over.
You just talked about the Walking Dead, so...
No, I'm not. That's all I'm going to talk about. They're fucking us over, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I'm going to say about that. All right, on the bigger and brighter things here, 1-877-552-4073 is the number to call if you guys want to get in tonight. We're just talking Star Wars and Star Wars memories, expectations perhaps for the new movie, The Force Awakens, coming out December the 18th. Anything, everything Star Wars is on the table, and we would love to hear from you. Okay, so as you know, Rhonda, some little movie's coming out December the 18th.
This is definitely going to be Eric's episode. I've only seen one of the Star Wars films in theaters, and I can tell you Eric could fill up 3 hours on his own with memories.
Oh, probably. Yeah, at the very least. Which one did you see in theaters?
I saw the, oh, God, don't kill me. I saw the first one of the new trilogy.
Okay, so you saw The Phantom Menace. Oh,
yes.
Not a good place to start, but...
I saw it. I was, like, young, okay? You know I was young because I liked Jar Jar Binks. I thought
yeah.
he was fucking funny.
I watched that movie again,
and I'm like, was I on crack?
Yeah, I watched it here not too long ago for The Menace because the head huntress, Elizabeth Katzenberg, was doing a Star Wars challenge. And I was only able to get through the first three movies because one of the caveats was you had to watch both the original cut and the re-release cut of like Empire Strikes Back, the first episode 4 and Return of the Jedi. Well, I don't have original cuts of Empire Strikes Back or Return of the Jedi, so that kind of screwed me over. But yeah.
Did you watch the Christmas special?
I bought the Christmas special on DVD from your buddy, the Son of Ghoul,
nice.
At the very first Cinema Wasteland I attended last year.
But did you watch it for the madness?
Huh? Not for the madness. I didn't get that far.
Ah.
I did not get that far. But, the holiday special, that's somewhat interesting as a historical relic that George Lucas, the founder and creator of the Star Wars franchise, wants to find a hammer and smash all bootlegs to bits. But you know what? If you've not seen it, just for historical purposes only, you have to watch it because the bootlegs you find on YouTube, they have like also these commercials because it came out in 1978. So you see these weird commercials. I won't say weird commercials, but you'd tell they were a product of their time. You know, I mean, cereals, you know, sugary cereals, you know, McDonald's with Happy Meals in them that had actual sodas in them and stuff. And commercials for unions and, you know, for manufacturing jobs because they were so plentiful in the late 70s. And then to top it all off, you have the band Jefferson Starship playing a number during this holiday special. Don't ask me why. It was a nightmare to say the least. So be sure to, celebrating Life Day. Oh, my God. But see, the good thing was at the end of this DVD, you could watch like trailers for like original trailers like Empire Strikes Back, and there was like a bunch of toy commercials that whoever bootlegged the DVD, bootlegged the source tape he or she threw in there. You know, so it was just cool. It's just kind of cool watching seeing all the toys you grew up with and everything. Kind of gives you like a nice late 70s flashback. Hold on one second. Sorry about that. We having some technical difficulties on this end.
What did the cat do?
our other cat opened up the refrigerator door by himself. Oh my God. What is up with my
food?
The dark side is present tonight with my cats. Penny scratched me across the, jumped on my trash and scratched me, and the other cat opened up the refrigerator door by himself. What is going on here? I guess
Mute
that's
me.
Live reading.
Mute Penny. See, there's a book that describes this. It's called 1,000 Ways to Tell If Your Cat's Plotting to Kill You.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Your cat first taught itself to get its own food, and now is testing
mm-hmm.
your weaknesses because it doesn't need your ass anymore.
No, it doesn't. Except
if it can get
its
own food, then you're obsolete.
Yeah, I tell Sheldon every day you have to go outside and forage for food because I'm not feeding you, which I feed the cats. It's just I just tease him. I tease him incessantly about that. I always feed the cats. But anyway,
without
it
taking you to heart.
Yeah, speaking of cats, here, it's 1-877-552-4073, and for international listeners, it's 323-843-6113. We're talking about Star Wars. I'm trying to talk about Star Wars memories here, but cats are opening refrigerators by themselves and scratching me across the chest and everything, so it's going to get a little crazy here. Okay, so I fell in love with Star Wars when I was about 5. My very first memory was my mom taking me to see The Empire Strikes Back in a theater outside of Pittsburgh somewhere. I can't remember where exactly. It may have been Monroeville for all I know. Site of where they filmed most of the original Dawn of the Dead. in case you didn't know that, but you're a horror fan, so I know you're, I know you know that. So, and I remember watching it. I remember getting freaked out when Luke was having his vision, fighting Darth Vader and Dagobah, having his vision, and getting in Darth Vader's head, he knocking Darth Vader's head off, and then the helmet explodes, and you see Luke Skywalker's face. It's kind of, I got creeped out because of that. And then the one thing that sticks out in my mind, Rhonda.
Yeah?
During the big reveal, when Darth Vader said what he said about himself, this grandmother, she had to have been in her late 70s. She grabs her, I'm going to assume it was her grandson. He looked about my age. She picks him up. She says, "Oh, my God, it's sacred!" She runs out of the theater, and the kid does not know what the heck is going on. And everybody in the theater is growing, saying, "Oh my God, are you serious?" You know, this was back in the pre-internet days, before Al Gore invented it. So you didn't have any social media. You were just
this was before spoilers.
Unless somebody told you, you had no clue what was going on. So yeah, that was my very first memory of Star Wars, because I was a little too young to see the original, because it came out when I was like not even two yet. So, but I wasn't even a thought. No, but it's always fun, you know, listening to old people's stories, for sure. I think the first time I saw Star Wars,
you
it was on
Star
TV.
Wars old people story.
Well, I mean,
you
the original trilogy. The original trilogy is almost 40 years old. You know, if you think about it, you know, it's almost 40. And then I remember, I think the original Star Wars I saw for the first time when it was on TV, made its television debut. This is, I think, 83 or 84. And then one of the first movies. And then one of the first movies I ever rented from a our VCR, I believe, was also Star Wars as well. So got hooked on that. And I've always said to people, Episode 4 is probably my favorite, even though Empire Strikes Back is the best of the live-action movies. Because even though Empire Strikes Back is better, it's not as fun as the original movie.
How the original movie is Episode 4, too. Like, hold the fuck out.
It wasn't really called Episode 4. It was just, when it first came out in 1977, it was just called Star Wars.
Then the prequels came out, so you had to categorize them.
Yeah. Well, I think George Lucas re-released the movies like a few more times after its initial run, because it just did so well. It just did so well, and the VCRs weren't really a thing. You know, they were there, but everything was just so damn expensive. So, like every couple of years, he would release a Star Wars movie. I think it was like in his second run, he named it Episode 4: A New Hope. Because I remember seeing it on the VHS. It was Episode 4. And then you had Return of the Jedi, which I thought was kind of, if you think about, I mean, I know you haven't seen it, Rhonda, but for those who have seen it, wasn't Han Solo kind of a wussy in that movie? You know, the swag in Return of the Jedi. He was kind of, you know, he wasn't that confident swaggering space pirate you saw in Episode 4 and Episode 5. You know, he was kind of like hooked into Leia and say, you know, "Oh, I love you. Oh, I know." You know.
That always got me too. That fucking line. What do you mean I know? I would have kicked his ass.
Han Solo's scoundrel.
I understand. I'm just saying it. I would have kicked his ass.
You know.
What did you just say? Just to say, I know.
Mm-hmm. And then in the Return of the Jedi, the the lines get reversed in that one. But did you know that there was a novel that came out in between episodes Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi called Shadows of the Empire? There was
a book that came out in the mid-90s.
It was essentially Leia, Lando, and Chewie are trying to track down where Boba Fett had taken Han Solo. And in the midst of this, there is a new bad guy called Prince Caesar who owns essentially a mafia, and he's trying to get his freak on with Princess Leia, essentially. But it's true. Look it up.
I still can't get over the whole "you kissed your brother" thing either.
Here's what I say about that. He didn't know that that was his sister.
I know they didn't know, but I just, like, I always wonder what made him think of that plot twist out of all the plot twists you could think of.
I'm trying to remember because I don't know for sure that wasn't his original intention, because he wanted to have a love triangle going, but then like in the end he's like, I'll just make Leia Luke's sister, you know, that way things will be passed down easier to the next generation of Jedi. So to speak. But as we see here in episode 7, that's not apparently not going to be the case. In episode 7, apparently there's going to be a gentleman by the name of John Boyega, who plays Finn in this movie, that he's being called upon. The Force is calling him, apparently. Which, speaking of that trailer for episode 7, second one that came out in the spring, oh my god, I've seen that at least 5 or 6 times. I was just like, repeat, after we're done, yeah. Repeat. I was just so hungry for something new from the Star Wars that was going to be good, and this looks like it's going to be good. I want to keep all expectations low, and it's difficult when you see...
I just really don't want Disney to fuck it up.
I'm confident the director J.J. Abrams, he'll do a fine job, you know, because I think he did a good job with the Star Trek movies, even though that's not a popular thing to conject.
And we will not see any more sexy outfits, by the way, apparently.
Yeah, I did.
Because Disney sucks.
I saw that. Yeah.
Apparently, from now on, there will be no more Slave Leia merchandise. No more costumes. No more action figures.
Yeah, She had
more clothing on than Ariel. Just saying.
I'll be honest with you. I've not seen any Slave action figure since the 80s.
Yes,
but they still
made the costumes, and the costumes
are
very popular.
You can make your own. I mean, they have. If you look in the right places, you can make the. There's the patterns and stuff. You can make on your
just
own.
It's like technically Ariel didn't have clothes on from the waist down.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Yeah. Well, political correctness in the 21st century. It's a major.
I mean, Donkey wasn't wearing no damn pants. No. Oh wait, Donkey was Disney. That was DreamWorks, wasn't it? My bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mix them up.
All right.
It happens.
All right. 1-877-552-4073 if you guys want to get in on the conversation tonight. It's all Star Wars here for the next half hour or so. International listeners, 323-843-6113. All right. So I'm going to play a little clip here from one of the major influences on Dollar Bin Horror Radio, and that's Russell Crap Radio, hosted by the legendary R.U. Reynolds and a friend of the show, Blade Braxton, who we interviewed last year. Well, I'm going to play this little clip for you from back in 2009 when they were celebrating the 10th anniversary of The Phantom Menace. And one of the gimmicks that they used for Russell Crap Radio is there's a TNA correspondent, which, if you don't know, TNA is like the major, I don't want to say it's the major opponent of the WWE, because it's frankly, the wrestling sucks. But it's one of WWE's competition. Well, they would have a TNA correspondent call in every week, you know, and talk about everything but what happened on TNA that week. Well, on this clip I'm about to play for you, the correspondent was a guy by the name of Mike Check, a slightly confused old man who attended a Star Wars convention, and he actually interviews the son of Jake Lloyd, who played young Anakin Skywalker in the very first movie. Did you ever happen to Jake Lloyd here recently, Rhonda?
No, I haven't.
He got arrested for drunk driving.
Oh, that's genius.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I played young Anakin Skywalker and was given the lines that he was in, I probably wouldn't hit the bottle too.
Right.
You know, yippee!
Really?
You know?
Oh my god.
Oh my god, but. Anyway, so without further ado, here is from 2009, from Russell Crab Radio, this is a Star Wars Spectacular on Dollar Bin Horror Radio. I think that we're plugged into the Star Wars convention. I hear the music. Sounds like it's literally coming through a tin can and string. Mike Check, are you there, buddy?
I mean,
well, yeah, fellers. It's insane here at the Star Trek Festival. It's something else. It's just all kinds of people here at the big event. Lots of people stopping by and getting these. I took your advice there, Brad, and we have we got lots of WWCR bumper stickers.
Awesome.
It does say the Whacker. I'm not really happy with the little graphic they put on there. That was.
What's the graphic?
I'd rather not discuss it. I'm not happy with it. But boy, you should be here. There are people just dressed up, just having a grand time here at the Star Wars Festival. You would not believe.
Do me a.
Some kind of giant robot or something just went past. This is a. Just a fantastic event here they're having. Apparently it's an anniversary of some sort. I'm not quite sure what it is.
Have you tried to pick up on any 16-year-olds wearing a slave outfits yet?
Oh my goodness, what the hell is that thing? Some kind of, it looked like a giant kangaroo or something. It had big horns. This is the strangest thing you ever did see. Don't know quite. Like I said, lots of just the strangest looking people you ever did. Oh, here comes another guy.
I wasn't aware George Lucas ever did anything.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know what he just called me, but I don't think it was something that you can probably. I hope you have a delay on here so you can bleep out some of this horrible language. There.
I don't
look like a rolling red trash can just went by. You should have seen it.
I don't know what I despise more, Jar Jar Binks or you.
Oh, you should have. There was a bunch. I don't know if those were kids or midgets or what. I think they may have.
They may have been Mexican midgets trying to run away from the border patrol. You couldn't see their face at all. They're only about 3 feet tall and just speaking some gibberish at it. I think it may have been Mexican. I'm not... Mike, that's kind of not very politically correct. I hope that you can, you know, kind of watch your language and think about what you're saying.
Tell me, Mike, you're at this big Phantom 10th anniversary Phantom Menace party. After a decade of reflection, your thoughts on the Phantom Menace? Disappointment or well worth the wait?
The Phantom Menace. Afraid I'm not particularly familiar with that. I guess, is that a film of which you speak? Is that one of those Star Trek films that everybody is talking about here?
Is there any chance you know how to sing I Feel For You by Chaka Khan?
I do enjoy that song. I've not done that on any karaoke nights or something. Maybe sometime we could all get together on the summer sizzling, splashing spectacular. And we could all go out and do karaoke. I think that'd be a good time. I think a lot of people would enjoy that. Mike, I have a question. obviously, you've seen a lot of like droids and animals and beasts and stuff. Are there any stars there that you've seen? Any movie stars? Yeah, fellas, there's a guy here. I'm not familiar with his work. Maybe you are. His name's Jake Lloyd. Does that name ring a bell to you guys?
No. Yeah, actually, I always spelled his name S-A-T-A-N.
I'd say you don't particularly care. Well, I guess you don't want me to get his autograph for you. He's here signing autographs, and he looks like he's heading this way, and looks like he has a son now, and he's gonna make his way over here. Jake Lloyd, mic check over here at the WWCR party van. Jake.
Oh, he's an embarrassment.
Jake, can you hear me, buddy? Oh, here. He's not coming, but it looks like his son's coming over here. This should be something else. I guess his name.
Highlight of your summer.
Yeah. Let me get him. Hi there, mic check. And what's your name, little buckaroo?
I'm Jake. Jake Lloyd
Jr. Well, Jake Lloyd Jr., what a big day it is for you to be here on the radio with yours truly, Mike Check. You're being listened to by literally millions of people worldwide. We're on this interweb thing. It's something else the fellers have got us all hooked into, and boy, what a good time it is, and you having fun here at the Star Wars, Star Trek, whatever it is, convention here, feller?
My daddy told me not to talk to strangers.
Well,
he couldn't act, but he can give life advice.
Well, what if I gave you a WWCR lollipop? Would that make you want to talk to good old Mike Chick?
I would like a lollipop.
Well, here you go, partner. Buckaroo.
And here you go, weirdo.
Oh!
Yippee!
Little bastard just kicked me in the family, dude. I have to get back with you later, fellas.
Oh, jeez.
Well, it doesn't sound like it's going particularly well at the Star Trek Star Wars convention.
Oh, boy.
All right, there you have it. Our boy Lee Braxton and Artie Reynolds with their friend and pal Mike Check interviewing Jake Lloyd Jr. If you ask me, Rhonda, Jake Lloyd Jr. sounds especially a lot like Artie Reynolds. I can't imagine. I wonder about that. All right, 1-877-552-4073. If you guys want to get on the conversation tonight, it's all Star Wars here tonight. 323-843-6113 if you guys are internationally calling us. We would love to hear from you. Okay. So, I have a confession to make regarding Star Wars. And it's this. I have a lot of toys. Star Wars toys. I'm 40 years old. I turned 40 this year, and I have Star Wars toys in my house. I have 3 lightsabers. You get me one for Christmas one year, Ron. I believe it was, or my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember which. You get me
one?
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah.
I don't remember
either.
I just know you got one.
Yes, you did buy me one. I also have 2 red lightsabers because they're from my alter ego, Darth Koroth, when he returns to Earth for Cinema Wasteland and Halloween's, whenever the spirit, whenever the dark side moves him. You know?
Hmm.
And I was at this, at midnight in September, I went to the Midnight Madness sale when all the new Star Wars action figures for The Force Awakens came out. I was there. I watched them cut the wrapping on the display. Rhonda, you know about this.
Yes.
Cut the wrapping on the display, and I was like, boom. I bought Kylo Ren, and I bought a Captain Phasma, and then I bought another Kylo, 2 more Kylo Rens, 2 more Captain Phasmas for my 2 young nephews. You know? So I have toys. My wife, Jo, bought me some toys from a yard sale over the summer. I have shirts. Star Wars shirts. I'm a geek, Rhonda. What can I do? I mean,
you say that like it's a bad thing.
Oh, well, I'm just trying to curb myself here. I mean, what?
For what?
You know.
I don't curb myself for nothing. People get annoyed with me. Let them be
well, see, that kind of leads to my point here. I think Star Wars was the first movie, real big movie, that just flooded the gates open for merchandising because when George Lucas sold the movie to 20th Century Fox, he kept the merchandising. And boy, did he exploit it.
I was just about to say that. I'm pretty sure he made more money off merchandising than they did off the actual movie.
Uh-huh, he did. I mean, the man was so great that company that made the toys in the late 70s. They did what's called this Star Wars certificate where you got a box that has a certificate inside of it saying, you send this back, we'll give you an action figure in 6 to 8 weeks. So people were doing that, sending it back, you know, sending it out, and then about 8 weeks later, they come back with a toy of some sort, whether it be Luke Skywalker. Oh, my God. Marty, you have to look this up sometime. The first Luke Skywalker design, oh, my God, it is hilarious. The lightsaber comes out of his hand, literally comes out of his hand. I mean, it's not just, it's not an attachment. You press
a little
lever. Oh,
there's no hand. It's just like, hey, we're here.
It's a hand. Yeah, a hand, essentially. And, oh, my God, a friend of mine had this exact same toy, and he lost the lightsaber, so he put a toothpick in it. Crazy stuff. I mean, there was the obligatory shirts. There were albums. I mean, you know, of the soundtrack. The disco song I played earlier to open the show with, there was that. The storybook records, serials. I mean, early 80s, C-3PO's, cereals. The only cereal I've ever had in my life that tasted like dirt. It was horrible. But they had this cool cutout mask on the back of Luke Skywalker's C-3PO, so it was okay. When you were a kid, 7 or 8 years old in the early 80s, you didn't care what the cereal tasted like. You wanted a toy or what was ever on the back. You know, you didn't care, you know. Oh, my God. And then there was the cartoon. There was the cartoons, the Ewok Adventures, droids. I mean, the list was just endless. But, you know, and basically he started. I mean, to use your favorite non-horror movies, the Lord of the Rings movies and the Hobbit. I mean, look what's out, Rhonda. I mean, the exact same things. You know, your toys, your video games. I mean, gosh.
They banked on replicas, I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You know how many people have the one ring? There's a lot more than one of them motherfuckers. We'll just say that.
I gotta say, don't the nine elves still have the one ring?
No. One ring to rule them all, motherfucker.
Oh, okay. All right. I wasn't sure on that.
See? No. No, Eric. Bad Eric. Bad.
Mm. I read the books.
If you read the books, then you would have remembered the poem.
Well, yeah, I know there was a poem in the beginning, but, I mean...
Which explains it.
Yeah. But, I mean, Tolkien didn't have the effect that, I mean, that Star Wars did, and still does, you know, all these years later. And... Yeah, when I got older and the prequels came out, my enthusiasm dawned a little bit. I mean, I stand to this day, I will defend saying that The Phantom Menace is a hell of a lot better movie than Attack of the Clones. Because the love story, how Anakin fell in love with Padme is, the way they talk is just so stupid. Oh my God. George Lucas taught me many things. How much Larry Love Story is probably the biggest one.
I will say about the newer Star Wars, Padme's outfits were fucking awesome.
Oh, what about the from the prequel trilogy?
Yes, her outfits were just badass.
Oh yeah, I mean the movies were eye candy. I mean, George Lucas used about every CGI trick known to mankind, and
she would be so fun to cosplay, but it just looks so fucking difficult. Like, her hair alone is like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, and George Lucas, George Lucas is many things, but when it comes to writing dialogue, he cannot write dialogue. Which is why I am so glad for
Jar Jar Binks. That's all I'm going to say.
You know, here's the thing about Jar Jar Binks. There was one scene where you could classify him as annoying, but the rest of the time he was just kind of more or less a pest.
Like, why are you here though? Like, at first I liked him because I was a little kid, okay? Sue me. I thought he was funny, but
okay.
Now that I watch it, I'm just like, the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
He's not even necessary.
Which is why I'm so glad with this new trilogy set coming out, George Lucas is only executive producer. He did not write the script for Episode 7. He
did
not
I didn't know he didn't write it.
No, he didn't write it.
Oh, shit.
Lawrence Kasdan, who wrote the script, who helped write the script for Empire Strikes, Empire Strikes Back, he helped write script. So there's hope. And J.J. Abrams also helped write the script.
There's hope.
For that. Yeah. George Lucas, he's removed. He essentially will approve a few things, you know, but as far as writing a word of dialogue, he is not within 2,000 feet of a typewriter or word processor or computer or word file for Microsoft. He is far removed from that, which is the first thing that made me believe in this movie was he's He's just going to oversee some things, and that's it. He's not writing. He's not directing. You know, he's far away removed from this.
You know. Anyway, 1-877-552-4072 is the number to call if you guys want to get in on the conversation tonight. 323-843-6113 for international listeners. And I was looking over episode 7 of Force Awakens, some of the casting. Of course, you're going to see Gary Fisher, Mark Hamill, and Harrison Ford from the original trilogy, which is a good thing. Peter Mayhew playing Chewbacca, and of course Anthony Daniels, and I believe Kenny Baker is in. Yep, here he is. They're going to be in his R2-D2 and C-3PO as well. So, but the newer people, I mean, you have Daisy Ridley from playing Rey, who we don't know a whole lot about anybody's backstory in this one. So, and we have a female lead bad girl, Captain Phasma. In this one, with the silver armor, which is pretty badass.
It was so weird because I was trying to when the new toys came out.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to read the back of the boxes to see if I could get a bio on some of these characters. And
yeah,
it's so damn big.
Yeah.
I'm just like, wait.
Mm-hmm.
The hell?
Yeah, basically with Kylo Ren, it's Kylo Ren is head of the Order of the Ren. That was it.
And he lives here. That's
mm-hmm.
not a bio!
Any new Star Wars toy you see for a bio, you're not going to find it. It's just going to be leader of the Order of the Ren. Finn, escaped stormtrooper, you know. which is good, though, because I will credit them for not giving too much away. There's only one person who knows what, other than the people involved with the film, that knows what happened, and he unfortunately passed away a few days ago.
Yeah,
the 32-year-old who's who had cancer, whose dying wish was to see The Force Awakens, and J.J. Abrams said, yeah, go ahead, and he's the only other one that knows. So, but I gotta say this, I'm very happy he got his wish, you know. And
that was really
awesome.
Good of Disney and really good of J. Abrams to do. I'm not even gonna lie. I didn't think they were going to.
Yeah, it's kind of like that movie. It was kind of like that movie, Fanboys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit.
That. Yeah, it's kind of art imitating life. All righty here. 1-877-552-4073 is the number to call if you guys want to get on the conversation tonight. 323-843-6113. All right, some scheduling. If you're listening right now, I'm going to tell you some what's going to be happening here in the future for Darwin Horror Radio as far as scheduling goes. Next week is going to be our best of 2015. We're going to talk about our favorite movies that came out or we saw this past year. And there were some good contenders. And then the 26th, of course, is Thanksgiving. I, being a benevolent executive producer, have given Rhonda the day off. And I will not be doing the show because it's stupid me doing the show by myself. December the 3rd, that is Riff Tracks. Santa Claus Meets the Ice Cream Bunny. Don't ask me why. But I'll be attending that. December 10th will be Our Big Crazy Fat Apple 2 Hall of Shame Class of 2015, which...
Oh, yeah.
Yes. The worst of the worst, the cream of the crap, it's another infection, and oh, boy, do I have some inductees this year. It's kind of going to be the most diverse inductee list in its history. So stay tuned for that. And now I have one more piece of news to share with everybody. I've been putting off for a while. I wanted to wait till the madness was over. I actually wanted to do this. January 7th, next year, will be the last episode of Darwin. Yeah, will be the last episode of Darwin Horror Radio. We've had a great. I actually made this decision probably after last season. I wanted to do one more year of this. We've had a great 5-year run together, me and Rhonda. But frankly, it's time that we move on. I've covered everything I think we could possibly cover in 5 years together. And you can't, and to be honest with you, I don't know how to work here. I really want to spend a lot more time doing my writing, and I don't think there's anything more to talk about. I mean, I think we've covered everything we possibly can. Don't get us wrong, we're still going to be fans. We're still fans of the horror genre. We always will be fans of the genre. We're still going to be attending the conventions. We're still going to be going to movies. We're still going to be talking about this stuff, just in different formats.
Yeah.
It's
not that we don't like horror. We love horror. We will love horror for the rest of our lives. It's just at this point, it's been, you know, we've done this for 5 years now. And
yeah,
we've pretty much covered everything we set out to cover when we started the show. And maybe one day something awesome will happen. Some fucking brand new psychological horror masterpiece will come out, and we'll just have to like jump back on or do something awesome for it. But at this time, there hasn't really been horror. It's been
nothing's really. It seems like things just keep repeating themselves, which I understand it happens in horror, but it just...
And I still love it. Don't get me wrong. Even the repeat.
Mm-hmm.
I love horror. I will never stop loving horror. It's just we've talked about everything we've wanted to talk about. And for the same reason, I think the blog might also be coming to an end. Not permanently, but just, like, I'm going to put it on hiatus for a while. I'm going to make, like, an official post sometime this week, but I'm just going to put it on hiatus. I mean, I'm still going to do posts for, like, when something comes up that I really want to post about, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to, I'm just not going
to
keep up with it. Because I just realized today I haven't made a post in, like, 2 months because there just hasn't been anything that's motivated me to really post. Like, the last thing that fucking motivated me to post, really, was seeing Tusk. That was the last movie that just, like, got me really good this year, and I saw that a while ago.
I saw Tusk at the beginning of the year. Yeah, I saw it.
And, I mean, Supernatural's back, but it's not something I blog about. Supernatural is just something I fangirl about. That's kind of my thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've had that blog for, what, 7-8 years now almost, but I'm still going to keep the blog up. I am not going to full-time devote my, you know what I mean. It's going to be there, and I'll get on whenever something happens, but, yeah, as of right now, it's on hiatus, and the show, of course, January 7th, it'll be our last episode.
Yeah.
Once you feel like you've said everything you wanted to say, it's time to move on and try something new.
Yeah, and frankly, every week it seems like for probably this season, I think it's been the hardest episodes for me to do because it's so hard to keep coming up with new stuff. I'm so grateful, you know, to have the interviews that we had when Liz came on to talk about the Menace. I was so grateful to do that because I can only get pissed off at so many lists by so many bloggers about, well, these 10 movie reviews are great. You've never seen these ones before. Compared with these 10 movies are overrated. It's like everything is just like so blurring together. I'm just like, oh, my God. You know, really, it's just really when I saw this starting to happen, I'm like, I need to move on. We need to move on. And plus, I realize with the writing and everything, it just seems to be the strongest calling as far as my geekdom goes right now. It's the writing. I'll tell you what, putting together a novel and, you know, it's a team effort. And Thank goodness my wife Jolene helped me out editing that novel, but it was draining at the same time. It drained a lot out of me. And yeah, I did the 6 years off and on, but when I went full bore into it this last time, it felt like I went 15 rounds with Mike Tyson in his prime, and I was still standing. I was on the ropes, but I was still standing. You know. But that's the way things are going to be for the rest of the run of the show. We only have 3 more episodes left.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, that wraps it up for this edition of DBHR. We hope that you've enjoyed listening to our Star Wars Spectacular. The movie comes out December the 18th. Pre-screenings on December the 17th. We'll be back next Thursday night with the best of 2015. We hope that you join us. Until then, this is Eric Polk, along with the one and only Miss Ryan Reaper, saying to our group of nation, good night.